Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Scheich.
Hey people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Scheich. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Well, today we're going to start what might be a couple of podcasts in a series. We'll see how this goes. Of course, usually when I do series, I don't do them all right in a row. But I've gone to Greece and Turkey to journey in the footsteps of Paul. And so today I want to just share with you a little bit about that journey specifically. We'll start with the capital of Greece, modern-day Greece, that is Athens. And Paul spent just a short time in Athens, from what we know in Scripture. We'll talk about in a little bit why that was a short time. And I'll give you a hint. It's not because he was persecuted there. Oftentimes, he was chased out of cities, persecuted in various cities. But there's no record of him being persecuted in Athens. And yet, he only spent a short time there. We'll talk in a little bit about why that was. But first, let me introduce the city to you, and the scripture where Paul was in Athens is Acts chapter 17. So if you want to get that out and reference that, you can do that, and we'll read through some of that later. But let me just show you some pictures of the city, talk about the city a little bit in Paul's day. We'll begin with the most famous site in Athens, and that is the Parthenon. The Parthenon is, well, if you're watching on YouTube, you'll see these different pictures. If you're not, I'll try to describe them as best I can. But the Parthenon sits on top of the Acropolis in Athens. The Acropolis is the highest point in a city in ancient times. And so there's an Acropolis in Thessalonica, an Acropolis in Philippi, an Acropolis in Athens, etc., etc. So this is the Acropolis in Athens. It sits on the highest point of the ancient city of Athens, and on top of the Acropolis was built a temple to the goddess Athena, that of course is the main goddess of Athens. That's what the town is named after, is the goddess Athena. The goddess Athena is the goddess of wisdom, and so you might recall, maybe you do, maybe you don't, that Athens was famous in Paul's day and in the centuries before Paul as a place where the home of philosophers, great philosophers kind of gathered in Athens, and was the home of some real just great philosophy, some great thinking going on, and of course the temple of Athena, the temple to the goddess of wisdom. So wisdom plays a big part in the role of the city, the history of the city of Athens. So there's the Parthenon. It sits on top of the Acropolis, and there's no biblical text about Paul going to the Parthenon or the Acropolis, but I can imagine he didn't go there because he went to a place very near there. Right just to the southwest of the Acropolis is a place called Mars Hill, and it's a big stone outcropping there between the Acropolis and the Agora. We'll see pictures of the Agora in a little bit. Every ancient city that was anything had an agora. We'll talk about what that is in a moment. But between the Acropolis and the Agora was Mars Hill, also known as the Areopagus. Areopagus is a word that actually was used in two different ways. One is a place to be, and the other is kind of the Congress or the Senate of the day was in Athens, was called the Areopagus. So we'll see that come up in a little bit in our reading of Scripture. But this is a modern Mars Hill. You can't see the Acropolis if you're looking on YouTube from this picture. It's off to the right-hand side of this picture. But here's a look at Mars Hill from the bottom as you climb up. It's not really a hard climb. Well, they've put a modern staircase, and off to the left of this picture, you can see in ancient times, you climb straight up the middle of the picture, a little bit more difficult. All the stone there is marble. So it's quite slippery, especially when it's raining. But for us modern people, I guess they got tired of people slipping down Mars Hill. And so they put this modern staircase in off to the left. And you can get up the top of there and kind of hop around the rocks. And well, it's kind of dangerous once you get up there, actually. You got to be kind of a goat to step around. But there's, as you can see from the picture, some people up there on Mars Hill. Mars Hill becomes a very, very important place biblically. This is a 10 out of 10. And we'll see that Paul gave a little message, a little sermon, if you will, to the people of the Areopagus as they met there on top of Mars Hill. We'll read that in a little bit. So we definitely know that Paul went here and was up there on top of that rock outcropping, as you can see. Now, before Paul went there, he was in the Agora. Now, every ancient city had an Agora, a city that was anything. The Agora is often translated in the New Testament as the marketplace, and that it was a marketplace, but it was just where everybody gathered. It was the town square. You know, picture New England towns had a town square. Well, it was the town square, but it was much, much fancier than the town square in New England. Town square in New England, of course, always had a church or two there on the town square, and so the Agora was no different. If you're watching online on YouTube, you can see there are temples all over this agora. It's huge, the agora in Athens. And so lots of different temples, the different gods. And we'll see as Paul walked around what's translated the marketplace, the agora, he saw all these temples to various gods. And that got him thinking of a way that he could spread the good news of the unknown God. And he did so. A couple of things to notice if you're looking on YouTube. The stoa, the building on the upper left-hand corner of the picture, kind of runs diagonally. That is the stoa of Attalos, and that has been recreated today. So when you go there, you can walk through the stoa of Attalos. Again, it's been recreated. So, but you get a sense of the enormity of this building. And these buildings in the agora, there's massive, massive structures. And again, generally made out of marble. So would be very expensive to build somewhere else today, but they had lots and lots and lots of marble in ancient Greece. Now, I want to zoom in a little bit on this picture and move to the bottom of the picture. So here's my next shot. You can see just up to the top left-hand corner again, that stoa of Attalos. But down the bottom, where I have the blue arrow, is an interesting building. They discovered there, as they were digging, this is a modern, obviously, picture. That's not how it looks today. It's a recreation of how it would have looked back in Paul's day. But they've discovered in that particular ruins of that building, they discovered a menorah. If you know what a menorah is a Jewish symbol. Candles, right? Candelabra, basically. And one or two other Jewish symbols in that building. So the thought is, and those symbols were from the 3rd century, roughly, AD, so after Paul's time. So the thought is, potentially, as we'll read in a moment, that Paul spoke in the synagogue of Athens first, before he spoke on Mars Hill, that potentially the synagogue Paul spoke in was built there also on that site, and then was rebuilt. That's the ruins that we find today, is the 3rd century synagogue that was built on that site. That is not a 10 out of 10 like Mars Hill. The synagogue could have been some other place, but nevertheless, it's possible. What would you say, a 5, a 7 out of 10, perhaps, that was where the synagogue was in which Paul spoke. So let's take a moment here and let me kind of change screens for us. And I'm going to put a different screen up there and see if we can read through the scriptures a little bit. So let's take a look at that, see if we can do that here. All right. This is from Acts chapter 17. Now that you've seen the pictures, so you get a sense of where this happened, and we'll talk about this some more. Acts chapter 17, beginning of verse 16, Paul was waiting for them. Well, who is them? That is Silas and Timothy. They had been in Berea and had been chased out of Berea by the Jews from Thessalonica. That'll be for a later podcast, perhaps. But anyway, Paul probably sails from the port near Berea down to the port of Athens, right near Athens, goes into Athens. He was greatly distressed to see the city was full of idols as he's walking around the agora that we saw before. So he reasoned in the synagogue, again, potentially the synagogue in the agora, near those idols, with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace. That's the Agora. So he's walking around the Agora and meeting people, reasoning with them day by day with those who happen to be there. It's kind of the gathering place. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers, that is, they were lovers of wisdom, the goddess Athena. So Athens known for its philosophy. Let's talk about Epicurean and Stoics, and we'll see. It's important to know who they are, what they believed, and I'll just give kind of a simple outline of that, but it'll become important later on. Epicurean philosophers believe they were materialists. What that means is they believe that matter is all there is. Stuff is all there is. So they did not believe in the soul. They didn't believe in the afterlife. They didn't believe in all this other kind of stuff that you can't see. They believed in what you can see and touch and feel. And so kind of a motto of Epicureans would be, to put it in modern day terms, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And when we die, we're dead. We're gone forever. There is no such thing as an afterlife. So that was the Epicurean belief, and they believed that we should just eat, drink, and be merry. Stoic philosophers, on the other hand, had a different view of things. Stoics believed that the soul was really who we are. We are spirit beings, that the gods had given us a body as a gift to us. However, that gift is corrupted, and we experience a lot of suffering in life. And so our goal in life is to get through that time of suffering stoically, the Stoics. And eventually we will get rid of this body, be freed from this body of death, and our spirits would live forever. The idea that a body would live forever would be abhorrent to Stoics. So the commonality there is that Epicureans did not believe in life after death, and Stoic philosophers believed that only the soul lived on after you died, and that that was a good thing, to have only the soul live. Okay? So a group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him, Paul. Some of them asked, what is this babbler trying to say? And others remarked, he seems to be advocating foreign gods. They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. So they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus. We saw that on top of Mars Hill. Well, they said to him, may we know what this new teaching is and what are you are presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears and we'd like to know what they mean. All the Athenians and foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. They were lovers of wisdom. Or sometimes lovers of foolishness. But in any case, Paul stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus on Mars Hill and said, 10 out of 10, people of Athens, I see that you, and in every way, you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship in your agora, I found an altar with this inscription to an unknown god. So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. He does not live in temples built by human hands. He is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times and history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, which is, by the way, displayed all over your agora. But now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed, and he has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, Epicureans, Stoics. But others said, we want to hear you again on this subject. At that, Paul left the council, the Areopagus, Mars Hill. Some of the people became followers of Paul and believed, and among them was Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus. So he's a senator, he's a leader in that community, and also a woman named Damaris. I'm sure she was a leader also, and a number of others. And then you see in Acts chapter 18, Paul leaves Athens and goes to Corinth. And we'll talk about that. Let's talk about it right now. Why not? Why did he leave Athens and go to Corinth? Doesn't seem like he was persecuted here. Some certainly sneered at him, disagreed with him, but that was nothing for Paul. He didn't get beaten with rods or thrown out left for dead after getting stoned. So why did he leave Athens so quickly? Well, the theory is, and I think it's a good theory, that he was in Athens in the spring of 51 AD. And there were games that were going to happen, not the Olympic Games, but similar games called the Isthmian Games, happening in Corinth a little bit later in the spring and into the summer. And people from all over Greece came to compete in those Isthmian Games. They wanted to stay near the stadiums there in Corinth, and there was no housing there for them, and so they would stay in tents around the stadium and participate in the games. So Paul was a tent maker. In fact, we read that in Acts chapter 18, that Paul's a tent maker, goes to Corinth right after this, meets up with some people, some Jewish Christians, Jewish believers in Yeshua HaMashiach, in Yahweh, and in Jesus as Yahweh, the Son of Yahweh here on earth. And so he meets up with Paul, Priscilla and Aquila, who are also tent makers. They've come from Rome. They were expelled from Rome in 49 AD by Claudius, as he expelled all the Jews from Rome. So Priscilla and Aquila wind up in Corinth. They're tent makers. They're going to make tents for the people coming for the games. Paul goes there, starts making tents with them. And he has opportunity then. He doesn't have to travel around Greece to talk to people. They all come to him. They want to buy tents. He can support himself and his ministry. And he can talk to them about Yahweh, about belief in Jesus, this God who became human. It was not created by us in stone or gold or silver, but God actually became human. He came down to us and was incarnate in the flesh in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, who died and rose again. And so Paul gets to spread that gospel in Corinth. So the theory is, and I think it's a good one, that he leaves Athens quickly to get on to Corinth because there's an opportunity in Corinth to spread the gospel. And in fact, winds up staying in Corinth for 18 months, spreading the gospel there from his base in Corinth. So, but that's the next chapter. That's Acts chapter 18. We won't get into that today. But that's why we think that Paul leaves Athens so quickly. So what you have here for us, how do we apply this to our lives? Well, I don't know what temples might be around. If we were to build temples, if our city would be known for something, what would it be known for? Maybe sports. I don't know. Football, volleyball. What would our city be known for? What do the people of our city, what do they obsess about? And how can we use what they obsess about? We don't have an agora here with a bunch of temples to Roman gods, to Greek gods. But what do they obsess about? And how can we use what the people of our culture obsess about to be able to then, as a link, to share the good news of Jesus? Now, eventually, in sharing the good news of Jesus with others in our culture, as what happened to Paul, eventually you got to get to the resurrection. That's the cornerstone of our Christian faith, the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. And some will scoff, as some scoffed at Paul and sneered at him. But others, like Dionysius the Areopagite, who was a member of the Areopagus, well, others like Dionysus will say, I want to hear you more about that. I want to believe in this God who can raise bodies from the dead, not just souls, but bodies from the dead. And so that's our opportunity that we have in our culture, the same opportunity that Paul had in his culture in Athens. Well, hopefully you learned a little bit more about Acts chapter 17, a little bit more about the city of Athens, the goddess of wisdom there, how they were interested in philosophy and discussing the latest ideas. And hopefully that's helpful to you, not only in understanding scripture, but in making applications to our own lives as we live as Christians here in the 21st century in Lincoln, Nebraska, or wherever it is that you live. Anyway, thanks for listening. We encourage you to write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let us know how you might have been blessed by this podcast, other things you know about Athens you wished I had talked about. Remember that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. And we pray that God would fulfill his promise to you. We know he will. He's always faithful in your life. Thanks for listening to the podcast today. Join us next time.